What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
Did something mess up on my end?
I was muted. No. Sometimes this happens. I was welcoming everybody. I've got two people here with me today. Before we get into that, I'm going to have to update the music on this once Necrom comes out.
I was just about to say, the nautical theme, although I'm a big fan.
Get a little long in the tooth.
Well, also, now is, you know, all the horrors of Apocrypha and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Or if we want to just go with the, you know, the Morrowind type of thing again. But yeah, we already set sail past last year.
And now, right.
And we kept sailing.
It's coming up.
To Morrowind.
Right.
We've
got less than 2 months. I'm going to see what the music sounds like in some of the videos they put out and maybe pull something from there. But welcome back, everybody. Those voices you hear, that's Lotus with me as usual. And the other voice you hear, let's call him Zed Decimal.
I'll take it. I'll fit it into the rebranding.
Zero period. Somebody you might know from YouTube and from Twitch, and a guy that I actually just got to meet in person last week in Vegas for the ESO event is here. How's it going?
Good. I was really glad we finally got to meet, because I've known of you at least through Ken from Chad Fallout 76 podcast for years now. But
yeah,
it's always a thing of trying to meet up with people and trying to finally introduce yourself. It's just always one of my pitfalls, because I never want to assume that anyone might even slightly, even barely know that I exist in the content creator space.
It's so a little
going
awkward.
Up and saying hi, I'm never like,
yeah.
Big on
yeah.
It.
Yeah, it's always a little awkward and it's a
weird experience.
Yeah, and I'm not the most naturally social person. Like, I enjoy talking with people, but it's also a little bit
once
weird to be like,
once the conversation starts, I enjoy it, but hi. Then like starting it.
Yeah, totally feel the same way. I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably feel very similar.
I try to be
similar.
Helpful since I have zero filter whatsoever. Yeah. It's like, hey, what's up? The only thing that's weird is when people know who I am and I'm like, I don't know. You are yet, like, so it throws
right.
me off.
Right, I don't know you by face.
Listen to me, and I like I don't have a context because like we only see us on the side of the screen. Mm-hmm. And then like a lot of times they'll be like, "Oh, I'm so and so from Twitter." I'm like, "I know exactly who you are, but I had no context to that yet, or something like that." So it's like, it is. It's
give me a handle or something.
I need the name tag. I really do.
Yeah.
Next year, for the 10th anniversary, I don't know if you guys have followed the like community thing we have on Discord.
Yeah.
You can leave feedback, about the event. And I think the thing that literally has been recommended, like, I don't know, 15, 20 times already, is either name tags, or I suggested, like they do at QuakeCon, I have got them behind me with like the medals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The badges. It'd be kind of neat if they put our tags on the badges, because then it turns into a collectible too, because they,
yeah. You know. And I know there's a few events that have done it. I know TwitchCon will do it for, I think for either affiliates or partners, maybe.
I think
both.
It's both, yeah.
But yeah. it works, because that's one of the things that everyone's going to be able to identify, or at least more people would be able to identify.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Now, so while we're talking about it, this is why you're here, zero yes. period. I will call you by your actual name so people know.
I'm happy to go by my actual name, because I go by zero period. I go by George. But right. So, since I'm so community focused, I'm so happy to go by my name. If anything, I'm almost more used to it at this point.
Awesome. Yeah, it's funny. When we first met, I don't know, good Lord, how many years ago was that at this point?
Like 2020. We met very briefly at the Greymoor event in Vegas, but I didn't really get to talk to you too much there.
Right. And oh yeah, and that's true, because that was the Wastelanders PAX as well.
Yeah.
Because then everything was like, no more events, no more fun.
so it was three weeks ago. After that, everything shut down.
Yeah, exactly. And that was exactly it. And we had met there, and I knew you as Zero Productions at the time. And you're like, yeah, you can just call me George. All right, that's fine.
It's shorter for one. I feel like it's easier for one, so I'm happy to go by George. Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of George or Zero Period, go look up Zero Period on YouTube. He's got some fun Let's Play stuff, you know, Elder Scrolls stuff. But anyway, the reason I invited you here is because we just got back from Vegas, and Lotus and I were thinking about recording an episode while we were there. I was exhausted. I didn't want to do it.
That's always the thing. Like, yeah. It sounds great to do like travel vlogs or live streams from there. I know people who did stream from there. But I just wanted to experience the event. And by the time I was done experiencing it, I was ready to pass out.
Yeah. It was a lot of being on your feet and walking and talking to people. And so by the end of each of the days, I was like, I'm just ready to be done. So we're going to talk about the things that happened at the event last week. And then we're going to get into this is a lore show, so we have to talk a little bit at least about some of the things we learned about good old Hermy and some of the things going on in Morrowind, and then maybe some other thoughts at the end of the episode. But here, let's kick it off. I mean, I guess we've already kicked it off. What did you think about this event? You were at the last one. I was at the last one. Lotus was at the last one. That was years ago now.
Right.
We got
the
to go.
The OGs of the ESO Vegas event.
Yeah. Like, this show is just a little baby new show back in the day, but we got to go back to the same location at the Luxor and the same stage. They had drinks with tickets that you could go
love
get
that arena by the way
themed drinks. Oh, yeah. Do you remember the themed drinks? Did you guys try those?
Yeah,
I tried one of them. I was told not to try the old fashioned because it was just kind of an old fashioned.
It was good.
Fair.
It was good.
White
whatever fashioned. Whatever the alcohol was in the mix was good. Like, you could taste it. It wasn't hidden. See how some alcoholic drinks are like they hide it in all the flavors? This one very much you could taste it, but I actually thought it was really good.
Yeah. Well, everything was themed, just to like mention that. Like the food was themed.
Even the food, it's like, oh, like the Quama quiche.
Exactly. So they have they did it originally too. They've done it at all the things. They tend to have specialty drinks, and they had the white gold fashioned, which was the old fashioned you were referring to, and the Arcanist, which was good. But the overwhelming thing, which I did appreciate event staff being that, like, it has Prosecco in it and Midori, and they were like, it's a little dry. And I'm like, okay, they were like, but if we put a splash of Sprite in it, they were like, it'll sweeten it up, which is, I was like, I'll just leave it to your best judgment. And that was very good when they did. But it was a little dry even with that. Like, it was good dry, but it was I was like, oof, without that, I can see why people were like, man, this is kind of rough. So.
Yeah, yeah. Faceplant in chat says, they didn't serve skooma. I bet if we were able to do one for the Elsewhere stuff, they would have served skooma because it was all very themed for the new expansion.
Yeah, I actually, they did have those
Elsewhere
game days.
They had the Maik's moon sugar
they
soda?
Sure did, because
that's what it was
video version of this somewhere. I actually have the bottle right here. I keep it on my desk. I long since drank it because it'd be gross by this point. but
it was very good at the time. It's a Jones soda ginger beer.
It was a ginger beer, correct. Yep.
At the time, I don't think Jones even had the ginger beer in the US yet.
They did not. That was
the
interesting
kind of like the first time people got to try their ginger beer, which is very good.
Yeah, it was. And Jones Soda seems like they work with Bethesda at points, because also they did Nuka-Cola Quantum.
Fallout 4.
Yes, I've got some Nuka-Cola Quantums up on my shelf over there. Yeah. Yeah. They're, and they were not drank. I did not drink them. I will not be drinking them because they're years old at this point.
Yeah, you would not drink them now.
Don't drink them now. But they're still blue and they look awesome.
Yeah.
There you go.
So aside from the drinks and stuff, I mean, this is funny. We didn't plan to talk about that first, but it's funny that came up. There was a lot of other themed stuff. You had, if anybody watched any of the live stream, there was a big screen with all the stuff on the stage, but even on the stage, there were mushrooms and the backdrop looked very Morrowind.
Foliage and everything.
Yeah, the foliage. And of course, they had the different events. We had 9 hours that first day of one thing to the next. So the big thing where they had the video and they talked a little bit more about what's coming. And then we had a voice actors thing. And then we had music. And then we had like lots of different panels, art, all sorts of things. And over on the side, if you've been if you've been on social media, you will have seen the Hermaeus Mora scene where you can take pictures, right? And that was awesome. So people were taking their pictures with a big old Hermaeus Mora backdrop. And voice actors were walking around saying hi to everybody. A lot of the people from Zos were there. I mean, we could name them all off, but, you know, Rich and Gina and Zanky, the lore master, and, you know, everybody. It was basically anybody who had something important to say about Elder Scrolls Online was walking around. How did
or
you
even
guys
some of my friends from the tech team, which there shout you out go. To like Wayne yeah. and stuff like that, which is really funny. We always joke that we never get to hang out at events because he's like, well, yeah, I do the tech. What, why like would
someone's
I?
Someone's got to run it while everyone else is having fun exactly. in Vegas. But now so, he gets to be the one having fun in Vegas and make it someone else's problem.
Exactly. Well, I guess because they had so many computers to account for all of the people and everything like that, he was like, they need more people. So he was like, I actually get to go. And that was just it. I actually know some people up in testing, which we'll get into how it plays and stuff like that. But, you know, during these test rooms, basically he was running in and doing damage control if anything broke. He was like, no, I got it. And like, run and fix it. So it was like, I even got to meet Wayne because he's the great, like, Wayne is just such a cool dude. So
So that's a good
nice
point.
To see him.
There were up on the second floor, there were these different rooms with all these PCs set up. And we each got what, like 15, 20 minutes to sit down and try out some of the you know, the details with the new character. We got to build a character and then slot in some abilities. And my joke to everybody was that it was just enough time to read the ability descriptions, slot in some abilities, and then run out into the world. And then here you are now in Morrowind. You don't know where you are because you just like spawned into the world. And the first thing everybody did was they found the closest thing near them to attack and then just murdered it.
And that's like, I feel like I couldn't find anything in the Overland in that time just because it's like, all right, someone was just here 5 seconds
ago. Right. Somebody just murdered the thing I want to murder.
Yep. And everybody slotted in the laser beam because the Arcanist has an ability that shoots like a green laser beam. So that was the running joke, at least for some of the people I talked to. It was just like, build your character, slot in stuff, and then laser beam everything. Oh, time's up. Gotta go.
The worst part was I even knew like what skills I wanted to slot, and I still feel like I had no time at all.
Yeah. Then, you know, time goes by real quick when you're reading descriptions of abilities.
Right. And this is why I guess like I can have kind of a different perspective on this. I actually resigned my spot from the event because I had been to the San Francisco like reveal thing where I was given hours to screw with this thing. Like,
that's the thing. I heard you guys got, I mean, obviously not all day, but a decent.
No, we got a couple hours at the event, and then there was like other access to it later that you could do. So I was able to mess with it for a bit. And when people were being like, yeah, we've got like 20 minutes to test it, I was like, dude, I don't even think I finished my setup in 20 minutes. I was like reading all the descriptions and trying to figure out what gear I wanted to use.
That's and like,
I
go into those PTS boxes and it's just the Russian nesting dolls. Yes. Like arena set, perfected arena set. All right.
Oh my God.
Just finding this piece, that piece.
Exactly.
Even on PTS now, that takes hours to do. For me.
Exactly. It really does. So that was just it. I was like, I don't even want it. Like I've seen it. I am already super psyched. So I was like, I want to goof around, socialize, meet all these people that I rarely get to meet or have never had the pleasure of meeting yet. And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to do anything in 20 minutes. Like, I'm just going to be annoyed that I don't have my previous build from the last.
You're going to be teased in 20 minutes.
And I was like, I'm already sold. So I don't need. So like when people were saying like, oh, I only got like 20 minutes or whatever, or from Snug Podcast, Gone Crazy had mentioned, she actually accidentally logged out because the event staff was trying to help, but they're not as adept, obviously, as the Bethesda staff.
Right.
So one of them, she was like, oh, it like, how do I like get my actual thing? And they're like, oh, just go back a page and it logged her out. And she was like, well, I don't have to lock it. And they're like, oh, I don't. And that was why I mentioned it. Like Wayne came in, he's like, I got it. And he like fixed the problem. But she's like, I was missing 7 minutes at that point. She's like, what do I do? So she like panic ran out and like jumped off a bridge.
Yeah. My wife did the same thing too. She accidentally logged out. She went into like the regular beginning of like creating a new character from scratch from like level one. And then I was like, I don't think that's where you're supposed to be. So she had to like back out of it, but logged out. So anyway, so here, well, I want to get to some of the details because we only have so much time on the show. I want to get to some of the details. Right. Some of the people might be like having questions about. So what did you guys think about the class, the art? So there was debate. Arcanist.
I was able to track down Jess at one point, and mm-hmm. she said that it's supposed to be Arcanist. However, if you look up like historical stuff, Arcanist is also correct, and they have to have this internal thing of correcting each other.
Yes,
because they've committed to the name Arcanist, like lore wise.
Right. Oh, and I guess they've said that anything is technically acceptable. However, I'm going to just say that I chose to agree with Matt Fryer, the lead on ESO, because I believe his exact quote was, you don't study the Archon, you study the Arcane. So you are an Arcanist. And I was like, thank you. That is literally my logic.
Nice. So what do you think of it? Yeah. What do you think of the character? Like there's definitely some unique abilities that we haven't seen. Anybody who's watched the videos on it knows that everything's very green colored and you've got like tentacles and books of like forbidden knowledge. And what do you guys think of not only the look, but actually using the abilities?
I think it looks and feels very unique for a lot of those reasons and more. But I think, you know, it being so closely tied to one specific Daedric Prince really isn't something that we've seen class wise in the game. So it's almost nice how specific that is. It means the aesthetic just stands out a little bit more. The sound design, I really like how different it is. It almost has this sort of, I don't want to say sci-fi, but this otherworldly feeling to it with the way that the lasers sound, this almost mechanical sound effect you have when you throw the rune blades, which is one of like the DPS spammables, for instance. So it feels very different. And I think that's kind of what a lot of people want and need right now to justify making a new character after so many years.
Yeah, brand new stuff in a way that ties to something as cool as Hermaeus Mora. It's a really, really good choice, in my opinion. What do you think, Lotus? You had a lot more time with the character. How do you feel about the abilities?
So number crunchy wise, I'm curious to see how it'll feel once it lands, because that's all what the PTS is for and a lot of this early access. However, the animation specifically, I find flow really well. With the amount that I played, I basically only picked one non-class skill and just kept cycling in new like character skills, like, and I wasn't using any of the weapon lines or anything like that. And all of the animations just kind of worked together very well. I really liked how they felt. And the vibe, obviously, being that my favorite character that we've long joked about is like Hermaeus Mora, and this is like basically a Hermaeus Mora style class, which is pretty funny. So the Year of Lotus will continue as I just keep getting everything I ask for.
It's kind of like the Year of Luigi. You remember that? That was a Nintendo thing.
I do. This is much better than that.
Year of Lotus. Also green.
Yeah, also green. But I found that it had a good flow to it. I'm curious how it'll, you know, play once like you have it exactly, and once everything's finalized and stuff like that. But at least from that perspective, it was very cool. The crux system of like building this little buffer thing, I think is very unique from the other classes. It's not necessarily mandatory, but doing some moves will give you this thing called crux, and then there are other moves that you can use to spend this crux, which is basically a little attribute counter that goes up or down.
This isn't a foreign concept. If you've played MMOs, there are characters in other MMOs that do similar kinds of things.
And the cool thing about it is it's not like I have three crux, so I just do more damage than if I had one crux. A lot of times it would be, I get this status effect if I have three of these, or it does this modification to it. So this even seems like there's benefits to doing different amounts for different scenarios, because it's like, well, what the hell do I care about a CC on, or, you know, a crowd control ability on something like a boss, because you can't do that. Like it's immune to that thing.
Right.
So why waste the extra on something like that when it's like, well, if I only do two crux, I can poison it, or for example, like, just so it's like, I like that that's kind of a unique system from all of the other classes. That
it,
that
it makes
was
sense
interesting
for somebody who has all of this arcane knowledge to take abilities and weave them in ways that are unique depending on the situation. Kind of
right.
It feels right for somebody who would be wise in the ways of manipulating spells in more nuanced ways.
Yes. And the other one, the big flashy thing that has been the talk of everything, if you watch build videos or, you know, people, all the streamers are messing around with it, definitely seems situational, but it's a very new concept to Elder Scrolls Online, where you get this kind of like death ray thing that you can blast.
Laser beam.
Yes, yep. It's a giant laser beam. There's also a Healy version that makes it pink and happy.
Healy beam.
Yeah, but it's interesting because it doesn't have like an enemy lock on. It's a free form thing. Mm-hmm. So when you use it, you kind of stick in place, and then whether you're using a mouse or whether you're using your joysticks, you can free aim it around, which is very different than any other skill in the game.
Right. You actually have to aim.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
Pretty neat.
It does feel a lot more hands-on in that sense too.
Right. So like, I'll be very curious how people seem really enamored by it. So it certainly looks fun, especially for things that aren't super mobile, like world bosses and stuff like that. If you have a group and you have some people like on the, like, you know, you attack it with, say, five of your friends, and there's a couple of people up in its face, and then you can have a couple of you on rocks just like laser beaming it from range to keep it still. Like that's got some fun overworld dynamics that I think could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm totally down with the laser beam.
I really, it seems like a lot of people are big fans of the laser beam.
Oh, right, no. Right. So here, let's transition a little bit more into the lore stuff, because as you mentioned, the character is based around the study of Hermaeus Mora and forbidden knowledge and all of this. And the prologue has come out. Have you both played through the prologue so far?
Not yet. I'm planning to this weekend. I was going to the other day, but I was going through all my surveys from Jubilee, and that just took up way more time than I wanted it to.
Yeah. So Lotus, have you given it a chance yet? I don't want to spoiler anything.
Once we finish this, that's actually what I'm doing.
That's your plan. So well, we're not going to spoil anything, but
it's super new. It's on all
super
platforms.
Super new. It's about,
I mean, it came out while we were at Vegas.
It was during the lack of a better word, televised version, the streamed version. That's when it went live. So
right.
It's, you know, it's free to anybody who owns the game, period. So you don't even need the expansion yet if you want to see if the story hooks you, because I've heard very good things about it.
I've heard that the
story seems very intriguing, which I am all about.
Right. So here's some little glimpses. You meet Laramil the Wise, who we've been introduced to in the videos and things.
That letter that we've sent out is a promo deal.
Letter, right? Letter. So you meet Laramil the Wise, and then you also meet some other characters having to do with these groups that worship Hermaeus Mora and something that's going on with them. And you, Wes Johnson is back. He's been on the show. He does our little transitions for us on the show.
Yes.
He voiced Hermaeus Mora in Skyrim. He's back doing the character for ESO, which is exciting. He was at Vegas. He was taking pictures with people and signing stuff, and super wonderful, nice guy.
The nicest guy.
Yeah.
And he loves the community so much.
Possibly was having more fun than anybody else at that convention.
Well, he genuinely loves these games. He doesn't just like doing the voice of the characters. He loves the games.
If you don't follow Wes Johnson on Twitter, he is currently like schooling everybody that has questions.
He's retweeting everything about the event, any questions people have.
Outlets that are asking about it. There'll be like a couple of us responding, and then he'll be like, here's what you actually need to do, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I love that he is so into this.
Right. So in this little prologue, you get to hear him doing the character. I'm not going to tell you too much about where, how, or why, but we've got this glimpse into there's something going on. And a lot of the stuff that's been reiterated already in the videos and things that come out. There is something out there or someone or some, who knows, that is threatening Apocrypha and Nern. And we're getting dragged into it because, well, it's in our benefit to keep Nern from disappearing. So we probably have to save Apocrypha.
Yeah,
guess it's a good idea.
Seems like where our characters live should probably not be destroyed.
Yeah, so that sounds exciting, you know. And I mean, everybody loves Skyrim. So to have a character like Hermaeus Mora and some of the other, you know, influential, I don't know, just the dark elves and the people who worship him and any of that stuff kind of coming back. And with these storylines, they always end up going in a direction that is more than it just looks like when you just do the prologue.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. Yeah. The prologue really is just a very surface level of like, this is bad, but you don't even entirely know like why it is
why?
As bad it's as just, it's going to be.
Right.
Like what the longstanding impacts will be.
Yeah. So we don't know yet. We don't know where things are going, but that sounds exciting. It's fun to dive back into that stuff as well. And then there's, you know, the Necrom, the actual location of this part of the peninsula of Morrowind and the city of Necrom. Yes. And all of that. And we didn't get as much of a
since Arena.
Yeah. We didn't get as much of a glimpse of that. I mean, we had the decoration, you know, on the stage and those kinds of things. In the trial, and Lotus, you had more time in the trial. Did you get to run around the zone much? Did you notice anything in the zone?
Yes. So I was frolicking all about Necrom
okay.
during my time in San Francisco.
Because I was just laser beaming whatever Guar was closest to me in order to try out the abilities.
God.
No, I don't think it was a Guar. I think I killed like a Cliff Strider, so I don't remember.
All right. Okay, well,
that's fine.
That's totally
that's
fine.
That's a civil service.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the expected. Yeah.
I accidentally killed the Guar when I was playing the other day.
Oh, my
It was a little
God.
Baby one. It was like the ability just targets whatever is nearby. And
oh,
I didn't
that's
mean
the
to.
Problem with the free aim laser. Like you never know what's going to get in the way.
Sweet Vivek.
Watch out, little baby Guar. Oh no.
No, but
he's crispy. He's like chicken. I bet they taste like chicken.
Nope. Don't like
I
this.
Mean, the Bantam Guars. Yeah, they look like.
I mean, actually, right. They literally, don't they drop chicken?
I think so. The Bantam Guars are.
They drop poultry.
Species from regular.
No, this was
anyways.
Just like a little small regular.
Just
guar.
A small.
Yeah, you know how some of those are running around in Morrowind in ESO, like the little
yes,
guys.
Yes, you protect them. You don't blow them up.
I didn't mean to. It just
They only have one health. You sneeze at them, and there they go.
That's true.
Sneeze
That's
in
true.
A different direction. Damn it.
That's true. Anyway, Sorry. Anyway, we're talking
yeah, so
over
Necrom
you. Go ahead.
Itself, roaming around the Telvanni Peninsula, which I did. It's a little less volcanic than some of the other regions we've been to, like Stone Falls and stuff like that.
Or Vardenfell, which is just a volcano.
Giant volcano. It's a little more like Sidonine pre-eruption, if that makes sense. Like okay. It's a little more verdant, stuff like that, which is neat. But the city itself is pretty cool. It's got that really creepy structure that it's like, is it an undead god or is it just this rock formation that looks like a rib cage?
Yeah.
It's very cool. The strong nod to the lore being so unknown and inconsistent and stuff like that in the game, where it's just like there's so many shades of gray and like, I don't know, is this true? I thought that was a really cool touch in the surrounding area. But the city itself, actually, it's I really like the design layout of it.
I really
it's essentially, if you picture like mausoleums with that as the focus of the city, which is cool. There are these like not pyramids, but like almost like obelisks.
Yeah.
They're just like scattered throughout the city with different images and stuff. And that's also where there's like tombs and things like that. It's very interesting and it's got a pretty unique feel compared to some of the other, even Morrowind stuff, which I liked. Also, the vistas, which I had made the joke, like a lot of people fell off this cliff and that was the end of them.
Oh, no.
But you can, the bridge going to Necrom, you can like look over and the sense of scale is enormous because it drops so far down.
So we're talking like Elsewhere Scar?
Yeah, that type of thing.
Oh, Ashen Scar.
Yeah, exactly. But like, when you go to get a look, well, you got to be careful because you're on a bridge, so it's like whoops, like it's just like it is a long way down. But yeah, so the city itself, I feel like it's both familiar because it does have the Morrowind aesthetic and feel to it.
It does have, like, it draws from some of the stylistic choices, but it's also very different. You have the whites, and then you go inside and you have this nice, like, blue and gold, which feels really elegant. And it's both familiar, like you said, but it does stand out from what we've seen either on the mainland or in Vardenfell, which is so nice to have, like, those different flavors.
Yeah, it's familiar, but it is unique. It doesn't feel like a rehash.
Lotus and I have been going back through the locations and talking about, like, the locations and the buildings and the way the land looks in each of the different zones. And this last month and a half, we've been going back through these locations. And as I've been playing, I've been jumping around doing more of my scrying stuff in the game lately. And so I'm going through a lot of these zones again, and I'm noticing how cool it is that there are these, like, transitions between places, because I'm doing a lot of running from one place to another.
Right.
And what you're describing sounds a lot to me like that, like it's a transition. Like, it feels a little bit like this zone, but it feels a little bit like another zone that is nearby. And there's this, like, gradation of the landscape and the plants and all of that stuff as you go. Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, no, I really did like it. And I guess, actually, I don't know if you've messed around with the PTS or it seemed like other than like three people at the event, nobody managed to figure this out, because honestly, it wasn't really explained, or you have to kind of, well, one, you're kind of not supposed to be able to, I guess, get there because it's supposed to be story related, but you can figure it out because it's coded into the thing. And shout out to TES Benefactor, who actually figured out the input to it, because on the map you could find a portion of the map that you could click on and it would just bypass everything and you just teleport to Apocrypha.
I've
been to Apocrypha so far. I was exploring that last night. I did actually have some notes on that too.
So that is interesting, and I figure since we're kind of in the landscape, it might be worth just noting that there's Apocrypha, which we've seen parts of from the Skyrim expansion Dragonborn, which is what most people will recognize. Obviously, it's much maybe not so much larger, but less linear.
It's more
this version of it,
broad.
Because we're going there with a purpose in Dragonborn.
Well, you're very focused down kind of paths that you have to go through just to do the story stuff.
In Dragonborn, you didn't get to see Apocrypha as a realm. You were going just into, like, those fragments within the Black Books, whereas now you have the Overland, and you're seeing more
for lack of a better word, free reign in Apocrypha. And then there's the one that I was blown away by is the connecting realm, and it's kind of like the outer area of Apocrypha, called the Chroma Incognito, which is really out there.
Doesn't that just mean colors hidden?
Yes, I think it literally just means hidden colors or colors hidden. That is, I feel like the art team just got to flex being weird. With an Oblivion realm, it looks awesome. It's very psychedelic, I guess would be the way that I would put it, whereas Apocrypha itself, very brown, very green, very black with the ink for the lip, whereas the Chroma Incognita, it's just like you have the same creatures and stuff like that you see in Apocrypha, but like in a very different setting. And some of the stuff that's interesting, because I actually don't want to even really spoil too much of the landscape that I was roaming around in, but there are some visual effects that specifically don't adhere to logic, I guess would be the best way to put it. The one specifically that I won't give details, but you'll know it when you see it, is there is a very interesting part that has nothing to do with how gravity works, which I thought was awesome. I did not find it on my own, actually. during the San Francisco thing, while I was running around determined to kill every world boss by myself. That was my goal. And they were like, what a weird way to spend your time. But they were mesmerized by how all of us chose to do.
You're like, have you met me before?
Dude, everybody was doing something. Some people were immediately like, let's duel. And they're like, really? And then, you know, you get Nephis off to the side who starts just parsing on a dummy. They're like, they're not even set. He's like, I got to know what it can do. And it's like, so they just like gave us free reign to do what we wanted there. And I was just like, I got to roam around because I've mentioned on the show before, I love just seeing the landscape. It's the world that makes the game to me. But while I'm there, I might as well kill something. So I was like, I wonder if I can take out each of these world bosses as well. And
did you?
While I was doing that, they kind of were like, after I got through the first four, they were kind of like, okay, we can kind of show you where the last two are if you want. We'll give you a direction just so you can, because they're like, we're kind of entertained by watching you like solo these things.
Now
so
that you've like, gotten through four of them, now we need to be here for the rest of
it. The last
now
two.
We need to know.
Right. And while I was running to one, he was like, oh, make a pit stop, go through this cave and then go through this lake and look up. And when I did this said thing, I was like, wow, that is really cool. He was like, I know, we're so proud of this. And I'll just leave it at that for when you explore the landscape. It is really, really neat. So
that's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. Well, tell you what, we got to take a quick break because we got to thank our patrons. And then Zero Period, I want to hear some of your thoughts on some of this stuff. And we've gotten Lotus's perspective here, but I get a feeling you've been in the PTS poking around.
I've been getting on as much as I can. But I don't think I've seen as much of Apocrypha yet, but I have seen like a few things that I definitely did want to mention.
Awesome. So we're going to get to you right after this break. So we'll be right back.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No. This is a place that has high quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one of a kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons. And it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn. You are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
Thank you, Hermie. Here we are.
I love those bumpers and
they're so good. Here we are in the middle of the show. We've got some, it's been a week that we've been off, so we've got some new patrons to welcome on board. We have here, let's start with scrolling around. We've got Dwight C and Cameron K and Yaki and Nick S, Matt C, Isaac L, Alexander, and that's it. Those are our new patrons who've signed up in the last 2 weeks. So welcome aboard, patrons. That brings us up to 129. Holy moly. Thank you for supporting the show. And to our Daedric Princes, who get shout-outs every week, Jacob K, Kira C, Neon Knight, and Noodle Al Dente, thank you for supporting the show as well. And we also happen to have some new reviews. But before we get to them, if you are interested in joining us on the Patreon and making sure this show is still going on, getting ad-free episodes or t-shirts, or joining us for shows like next week, we've got our patron chat upcoming up on the 27th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Then if you sign up on the Patreon, different tiers give you different access to different things. And if you are one of our tier 4 or higher patrons and you want to talk about what to talk about next week, chime in on the Discord. Let us know what you're thinking. Also, we have some reviews from Apple Podcasts. Here, let's scroll back to this one. We got two new ones that came in. This one is from Mercurio, is my pack mule. Wonderful name. From the United States, who writes, can't get enough. I'm strictly a Spotify listener, but I reopened Apple Podcasts just so I could write a review. That is amazing. Aww, that is some commitment. Oh,
that is like, I always say that I just like the fact that so many of you take the time to leave a review. That is like double amounts of effort. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that is awesome. They go on and say, I listen intensely while I'm at work. I'm an Elder Scrolls fanatic through and through. Both Tom and Lotus helped me dive deeper into the lore of Nirn, which vicariously helps me construct the fantasy world I've been working on for over a decade, which then translates into a D&D campaign. They even got me to play ESO just to experience the stories that it has to offer. All in all, the depth and detail that these guys bring into such a well-produced show is enough to keep me as a very long-time listener. 9 out of 9 divines. That's right. I said it. Very cool. Well, thank you, Mercurio. And then we have a real quick one from Cole767, who the title of this one is just, and maybe this is code, I don't know. The title is just the number 7. 5 stars. I love this so much. 9 hearts. I found this podcast from the Lord of the Rings Lorecast.
Ooh, crossover.
Yeah, crossover. So that's really cool. But also, I'm not sure what the 7 means or if the nine hearts.
I thought it might have been from their username, but then I thought they were going to keep going with the numbers.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is a typo or like a secret message of some sort. So let us know, Cole. Thank you for taking the time to leave these. As always, if you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out on a future episode. Also, you can leave ratings on Spotify and you can comment now on each of the episodes and tell us what you liked about each of the episodes. All of that stuff is extremely helpful in making sure that people know that this is an awesome show that they shouldn't be watching or listening to or however they ingest it through their eye holes or ear holes or nose holes. We don't have smell-o-vision yet.
We don't have smell-o-vision
working
yet.
On it.
Working on it. I don't know if you want to smell
top guys.
Us, but anyway,
yeah,
thank you.
Weird.
Thank you for taking the time to do all of that.
Acts that I usually don't want to.
That's probably true.
Counterpoint ESO celebration. Nothing smelled
Everyone
bad.
Was
it just
minty
smelled
fresh.
Like delicious food all the time.
Minty fresh.
Yeah. That's, yeah, minty.
So if you were wondering, ESO players smell like minty fresh.
Yes.
There you go.
All right. Well, let's get back to the rest of the show because we've got more Necrom stuff to talk about.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, George, I know you've got some thoughts on some of this stuff. What really stands out to you?
With Apocrypha, I think one of the things that I've really enjoyed about like what little I've seen, I know there's still a lot more, but it really feels like they took a lot of what they did with Deadlands and kind of brought that forward. I loved how Deadlands had Fargrave as this more kind of like of a hub of a city.
Yes.
And we finally got to see more of kind of this sense of Dromora Daedric culture.
Yes.
Which really had been not touched upon at all.
Yeah.
So having that was just like a really nice like deep dive into that. I feel like they're kind of doing a little bit more of that with Apocrypha. Once again, from Skyrim, from the Dragonborn DLC, we only ever saw the Black Books, which are these really creepy dungeons with the moving hallways and towers of books. And I went into one of Apocrypha's delves, and it was just that to a T. So that kind of nostalgia factor of getting to see the Apocrypha that I know from Dragonborn, from Skyrim, was really, really great. But then going back into the Overland and seeing, you know, oh, those little towns and settlements and people who are just kind of like living their lives was such a nice like contrast, because you don't really get to see like, oh, who's following Hermaeus Moore by choice.
Yeah.
Right.
Once again, in the previous games and whatnot. But like all these people are following some of these Daedric princes for a reason, not just because they're going to be sacrificed for this or that, but because they really do think that there's going to be like a better life for them at the end of the road.
They're not all just crazies.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are crazies.
Some of them are crazies. We learned from Oblivion, especially, that like a lot of these cultists are maybe like a little more out there, but there's got to be more to it, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Some of these people are just, they feel like making a deal with the Daedric Prince is a way to get the things that they've been needing or wanting. Some of them grow up in cults. Like that's a
right.
thing too, you know, like, oh, my parents worship this. This is just, this is our
God. So this
God.
Is my life. Yeah.
This is my life.
Yeah,
this
the
is
gods
what I
are
do.
Tangible in this world. So it's like, theoretically, if you really want something, you know, the price that it costs could be worth it to a lot of people. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. And just side note, before they did the whole Deadlands thing, Lotus and I, years ago now, talked about how cool it would be to see more stuff about the Daedra and how they live their lives and all of that. And then sure enough, I don't know if it was, maybe we put it out into the world and somebody heard it, or maybe they just had the same idea. More likely, they just had the same idea because it seems like an obvious idea. But they, you know, put that in there. So to see some of that in this as well, I think the more we spend in these Daedric realms, the more we get a sense of them being like real places. And even though the Daedra are not mortals, they're still people. Like, right, they're still persons, if that and makes it's sense.
Kind of cool that they're fleshing out what is kind of talked about, where it's not like, it's not just like, okay, here's your one gimmick to your Oblivion realm and that's it. That's all you got. Because, like, sort of, you know, going back to the Deadlands, it was like, okay, here's your generic hellscape. It's like, right, okay, that's it. That's your whole realm.
Here's red rocks. Then, here's brown rocks.
Exactly. And they're all on fire.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, when we got the Deadlands expansion, yes, there is that. But then there was like the Maelstrom region when you would go kind of like up to the north, and it was more storms and lightning, and it wasn't just like lava lakes everywhere. And then, like you mentioned, Fargrave, it's like, okay, this it's this like weird in between realm. So it's like, that's, I just mentioned the Chroma Incognita. They're filling out these things to be like actualized worlds in just a different plane for the game, which is really cool because it gives them another dimension to it, except Cold Harbor, which is just miserable. Nobody likes Cold Harbor.
I love Cold Harbor. I want to have a house in Cold Harbor.
It's a mistake.
it's like the blue hue of everything. That's so calming.
It was nice when it launched. Now I'm not going to go through and beat the main story on every single character anymore.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, there's that. Absolutely. So anything else stand out to you about this stuff or anything else that we've talked about or haven't talked about yet? Let's just open it up because I want to hear your thoughts, George.
I mean, I guess just in regards to the map in general, both between Necrom and Apocrypha, I do really like that we're getting like two zones this time around. And I'm not sure, maybe part of it is because we're not getting a zone DLC, so maybe like what might have been a zone DLC partially got rolled into this. But either way, it's nice to have once again like that contrast. We get a little bit of Nirn, we get a little bit of Oblivion. It's not just one or the other. And I think I honestly think, just from what I've seen, that we're having a little bit of a bigger playable space in Necrom than we've had in a lot of expansions past, which, once again, someone who loves questing, exploration, and antiquities, I am hoping that it means that maybe like I'll get even more mileage out of this than some of the previous expansions.
You feel like this is a bigger zone? Like
I mileage? Feel like it might be. I think if nothing else, just the fact that we have the two distinct zones at least opens up like different types of environments, so it won't necessarily be monotonous.
Yeah, I feel like the strength of this chapter will be that weird split that we had talked about, that kind of like, here's the first half of the story with the chapter, and then here's the zone DLC. I feel like all of it kind of coming at once gives you a more complete feel to the chapter itself.
Which is what I'm really hoping.
Me too, because honestly, like, when the momentum I was loving High Isle, and it was kind of like, no, I'm out of stuff to do. And I had to wait for a while to get to the rest of it. Which, you know, some of the year-long stories worked better than others in that regard. But like, if it's all there and I can do it at my own pace, perfect. Like, that's totally up to the player.
I can choose if I want to do it in the 1 week, the 2 weeks, the 1 month. Like, I can go at my own pace rather than... And it was always the weird thing for me with the year-long stories in the past, because you would get to the end of Greymoor, for instance. You start the Markarth DLC, and honestly, you don't even pick up on that cliffhanger from Greymoor until you beat Markarth. Because Markarth itself is like a completely different story, and the entire time I'm sitting here going, all right, can I get back to the story that I was waiting for the continuation of?
That was me with the Year of Oblivion. Blackwood,
especially with the Fargrave. Yeah,
with like, it was Fargrave, a great story. I was like, did we forget what story we're in? And you get through that entire thing before it ties together in the epilogue. And
I came to Fargrave. I'm like, Did everyone forget the word ambition? Because I've been looking for the ambition this entire time, and I don't see it.
Exactly.
Well, High Isle, and then the other section that with the druids.
Fire Song
felt kind of similar. It was like, we did High Isle, and I guess it's about as much as we can figure out about what's going on. And then it was like, wait for Fire Song, and then it's like, oh, bunch of druid stuff. And then you get through all the druid stuff, and you're like, oh yeah, we have that unfinished High Isle thing.
And the druid stuff, while fun, did also feel like a little bit of a...
an aside?
I don't want to say rehash, but it did feel very similar to like the base game Glenumbra stuff. It was still really good. It was the still weird really fun, stuff, but at the same time, I was like, I could just go back to Glenumbra and do
that's just it. And I think that's why them, like, it's fine if that was the normal layout, but for the sake of continuity, I think that's what they were trying to go with, like a marketing probably wanted them to release in this similar order. And I think when the story works like that, like Elsewhere was clearly designed like that. It was the first one type of thing. Some of the others, I felt like it was the story they wanted to tell, which I enjoyed, but being pushed into that model as opposed to the model naturally coming about as a result of the story.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think this new one, with everything being available at the start, landmass alone, I think it seems at least initially better for everybody. And I know that, like, once I get into this, sometimes I'm not into this, like, I don't feel like doing the story. I feel like doing challenge stuff, or I feel like doing overworld stuff, or
attacking
whatever.
Every world boss.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. But when I want to do the story, that's what I want to do. Like, I get invested in it, and I tend to just go all in on the story. And if the whole thing hasn't come out, it's a very jarring break for me. So
I agree.
I guess the natural reaction had always been I guess I shouldn't start this until the Q4 comes out, which is super like, well, okay, now I can't.
And then
even,
it's like, okay, pay. It's like, play this dungeon pack, then the expansion, the next dungeon pack.
It's, and I'm a big fan of the change in the way they're releasing it.
Yeah.
For me, it's also the thing of, with an MMO, it's ongoing. It, just by the nature of itself, it is a very long form game. So I feel like even restricting yourself to, like, we have to tell a story beginning to end in 1 year, you're not necessarily taking the advantage of the strength of being an MMO either. It's like you have the ability to do this so much long form content.
Yes.
And that's why people liked the Daedric War. Like, even though that was all one story, you could play just Morrowind and still have that full story. You have, like, the idea of there is this foreboding danger that's coming, but you still got, like, the complete story with Morrowind. Like, you still save the world, you stop this guy, so on and so forth.
Yeah. And they've been kind of not overtly saying it, but strongly hinting that this chapter will be a chapter. Like, we'll get our story, we'll have what happens happen. But it's not necessarily just a conclusive, like, here's all the information within a year. Like, nothing implied. Like, they've been kind of, like, less than subtly being like, don't account for this just being over. Like, maybe there's something more, that this is just going to continue on through the series now.
Which
like,
could,
like, well, like that.
Yeah. Building up to something big for year 10, for instance.
Right.
Because I would imagine they have something planned for year 10.
Absolutely. So, okay. So going back to the stuff at Vegas, I don't remember who said it, but I had a conversation with somebody, and we were reminiscing about the previous event from a few years back and bringing back the event for this year. And then the conversation went to, oh, and we're already planning for next year for the year 10 thing.
Yeah. Yep.
But I don't remember specifically what was said, but the implication of it wasn't just, it was like, oh, it's going to be a doozy, meaning like the event's going to be a doozy, but also the stuff coming to ESO next year. Oh man. Like, it was, it was one of those like, yeah, we've been planning the 10-year thing, and it's not just, you know, let's go back to Vegas. The stuff coming in the story, the stuff coming to the game, we can't wait to talk about it. We can't talk about it yet, because clearly we have to talk about this year's stuff.
Yeah, we're talking about the thing
that's
currently
happening.
We still
have a year to worry about that. Yeah.
Right, but things are coming. So there's that feeling like they've definitely, I'm sure they plan 2 or 3 or 4 years ahead at this point, just kind of what content, you know, they're working on and all that.
The Arcanist took two plus years that they were working on it. So
they could have very easily decided, like, let's push Arcanist for the 10th anniversary. I'm glad they didn't.
Right.
But it also begs to differ then. It's like, okay, well, then they also have something planned for next year. Not necessarily a new class. I think that would be way too back to back, but
sure.
I would imagine it's going to be something big, maybe like as game changing as Antiquities, which has become one of my favorite parts of the game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So who knows? There's stuff to coming down the line, but we're getting close to the end of the show. And before we wrap it up, is there anything else, any other memories from the event or any other things that really grabbed your attention? Let's start with George. George, was there anything else that like you wanted to bring up?
I was really happy with the event because I really loved the 2020 event. And I remember talking to like Gina and Jess at the end of the Greymore reveal, and they were saying, oh, we really want to do events like this moving forward. And then, you know, world shuts down and all that. So getting to see them like do this event again and seeing kind of Bethesda and ZeniMax as a whole leaning back into in-person events, whether it was, you know, GDC and the San Francisco thing, they're doing QuakeCon in person again,
right?
The Vegas event. It really feels like they're ready to lean back into like in-person community events, which I really think is one of the many strengths that they have. The fact that they are talking about year 10, a new event for that. It's really great because otherwise, like, I wouldn't get to meet most of these people that I had such a blast with the other week.
Yeah.
And it is one of the best parts of being part of this community is just that everyone really just wants to hang out. You go to this and you're thinking, oh, maybe there's going to be this click or that click. Maybe the streamers don't want to hang out with everyone else. Right? Everyone just wants to like have fun, get a drink. It's like, we're going to walk to the Bellagio. We're going to see the lights. Just it really was a great like family experience. And it sounds so cheesy, but it really is true. Once you go there, you understand it.
Yeah. And the strength of the game is the community, and every community has its, you know, it's
every
bad
community
apples.
Says that, but
every community says that. This community, I genuinely feel like, has a very positive, strong center. There are the people at the periphery who cause problems and, you know, fake tank or complain all the time, you know, like it's a full-time job about PvP or whatever, right? There's that part of the community. But at its core, these are people who have loved the Elder Scrolls games from the moment they discovered them, who just want to keep playing, who want to discover new content, who want to play with their friends, who want to do cool stuff in a game. And you can clearly see it at these events. Everybody's so friendly. Everybody's so cool. And, you know, the most of us are a little bit socially awkward, but that's fine.
But we're all on the same page about it, too.
Yeah, right.
If everybody's socially awkward, does that mean just nobody is? Like, I feel like everybody.
It's just the norm at that point.
Yeah, it seems like every one of these, it just takes a couple minutes and then everybody just feels super comfortable. And it's just like, usually it just takes like one or two of us to be loud and derpy, and then everybody's like, oh, never mind, they're just goofballs like, in person too, I guess it's fine.
On this note, the last night that I was there, my wife and I decided to go back to the Diablo's to get some chips and some drinks, and we're just hanging out, and we're at the corner of the bar. On the other side of the corner of the bar, this other couple comes up and they're sitting there, and my wife is close enough to hear some of what they're talking about, and at the end she's like, so you want to know what they were talking about? And I was like, what? And she's like, they're making fun of grown men who wear print t-shirts. And I was like, what?
We had 300 people at that event with the print t-shirts.
Like, this guy in his golf shirt and his like corpo haircut is like making fun of me across the corner. And, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, man, really?
I feel like there are such weirder things to, or really? There are so many things you can fixate on in Vegas. It's like, that is the most minute thing to comment on. It's like, print shirts.
Like men who wear printed t-shirts are like teenagers.
On the strip this was like by getting here.
Right. This was his little world going like, well, you're not a real man unless you work a corporate job. And he was also talking about how he was going to be able to write off everything to the company and all of this stuff. And I'm like, dude, and I'm thinking to myself, dude, I've been in that world.
I'm jealous of that.
But. Yeah, but like, it's such a small-minded thing. Like, you don't realize that I have like successful content, that I put a lot of, you know, I've created my own career. Like
exactly.
You're working for somebody else, and I'm doing what I want, and I get to wear graphic t-shirts. Like, screw you, buddy. Anyway, that was just one of those little funny things at the end of the day. But Lotus, do you have any last thoughts?
No, just kind of, I just kind of echo that sentiment. These are incredibly fun. These events, I always like to say that, like, I don't talk about these to make anybody get FOMO, but to just encourage people, if you get the opportunity to do these types of things at any point, even if you can just do one, if you can take the opportunity, this has been very unlike anything gaming wise or really hobby wise that I've ever dealt with. It's very different because I every time every now and then I'll allude to the fact that it's like I had done other things before, even just in gaming, before coming like to this fandom, even though I had always been a fan of the series, well, since I had played it with Morrowind. But when I would go to like competitive events or whatever, it was nothing like this. Like it was very much like had a very hostile sport atmosphere, I guess would be the best way sure. to put it, which is very much not what a lot of people like. These events are nothing like that. You know, your own teammates would be ragging on you and stuff like that. And this is just about having fun, making people feel comfortable in the environment and stuff like that. And just kind of like chatting about something we all kind of have a mutual interest in. So you have this just base level. If you don't know what to say, you know that your hobby aligns with this other person that you're chatting with. Right. So it makes it kind of easy to start up conversations. And it's weird because you know each other sort of better than you think you do, because you've already probably talked to each other via the internet in one way or another, or you've heard me ramble on in one of these things or whatever. So right, like right. there's something there already. So it's not a first time meeting necessarily, even if it is the first time you're literally meeting.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, it really is a wonderful thing. In closing, I have a story. Did you hear my story about talking to Zanky, the lore master? About
I don't think
posing
so.
A question to him. So we're over in toward the end of that first long night, 9 hours of stuff.
Yeah,
right?
9 hours. Oh,
we're a little worn out, and we're just having this conversation.
Not
and
really aware of what's going on anymore. Just going through the motions at that.
Just kind of chatting with everybody as the event is about to get ready to wind down. And I don't remember how it came up, but I posed the question. It might have been to Locke. I posed the question. I was like, "All right, if you came across a person who loved cats, they're a cat person, they've got lots of cats, and they have a cat for every Daedric prince, how many cats do they have?"
Ooh. Oh, I posed this
question. And so
I
we all started
one, but I love that question.
We all started debating, like, well, is it 16, is it 17? Does Sheogorath, is if Sheogorath is a cat, then is what's his name?
Jigalag.
Yeah, is Jigalag also a cat, or do you kill one of the cats and get a new cat?
Like, you hide Jigalag like in the box until right. the end of the era. Jigalag and then shows up. Come out.
Yeah, Jigalag just chills in the closet until it's his time.
Just
to
the
return.
Longest nap ever.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So this cat question came out, and then eventually it expanded to like, what about the Aedra? Are the Aedra dogs? Are, you know, what about the Tribunal? Are the Tribunal cats or dogs or something else? You know, right. So we had to like. And we're like, we're going to go ask Zanky. So we walk over to Zanky and I pose the question to him, and he goes, very interesting question. We need to be very serious about this. And then we sat and talked for, I don't know, a good 20 minutes about Daedric cats and Daedric dogs and all sorts of other stuff. So I've already reached out to Gina, and with any luck over the next, I don't know, month or two, we'll be able to get him sometime in the future.
Yeah, we're
on the show.
Some questions and
right. So I think we should do is just rehash the cat question.
Bring it back.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a whole show right there.
For this.
Right. And you know,
because now I'm thinking about like Clavicus Vile.
Right.
Barbus.
Right. Right. That came up. Like, is Barbus a smaller cat?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Barbus is already a dog, so it's kind of weird to then make him a cat.
Right. Yeah. So many questions come up. So maybe we'll rehash the question. We'll ask a little bit more about Necrom and some of that stuff. So we'll see. We'll see if we can set that up. I'm also reached back out to Wes Johnson, who was wonderful last time he was on the show. See if he's got some time. He's got some events coming up very soon, like,
oh yes,
fundraising.
Oh, the Voice of
stuff.
Palooza stream.
Voice
yeah,
of Palooza.
Starting to do some of the scheduling for that. We're yep. really looking forward to that. I'll be hosting the ESO component of that.
That's what I was. That's what mm-hmm. Ken had mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot That'd of that stuff's cool. coming up, and we'll be, you know, using my shows to raise money for those charities yep. as well. Yep. So lots of cool stuff on the way. Lots of cool people we were able to touch base with and actually shake hands with in person. So hello yeah. to all of them. And guys, thank you so much for joining me. And George, do you want to shout out your stuff or ways
yeah,
people
can
find your
find
content?
Because you've got some sure. excellent stuff.
On YouTube and Twitch, I go by Zero Period Productions. It's the number zero, the word period, the word productions, longest username in the world. Twitter, Zero Period once again with the number, Instagram Zero Period Productions with the number. On YouTube, I'm best known for Skyrim content even after all these years, because people keep making mods and it keeps me in business, and I'm still paying my bills to this day. So thank you to all the mod authors out there. On Twitch, I'm a part of the ESO stream team, which was one of the reasons I wanted to go to the event in the first place. I love seeing Gina and Jess, Rich and Finn, and then all my fellow teammates as well, because I just don't get to see them very often. But I'll also just stream various things, but every stream always winds up with me talking about ESO, food, coffee, sometimes beer. So it's a good baseline. It's
wonderful.
The best conversation topics you can have.
That sounds awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Go check out George's stuff. And you know where Lotus and I are. Tales of Tamriel. You got anything else going on?
Yeah, no. Obviously, it's with all of this going on, I haven't really been able to make too much other stuff. But at the same time, during Vegas, the second the NDA was released, me and Ninja614, part of the Elder Scrolls Online stream team, had stealth recorded a San Francisco episode where we talked all about the San Francisco stuff that we saw, which we were joking that that was the fastest a show got to, like, however many thousand views or listens or whatever, because it was like first to market. Shout out to Ninja614 for coming up with the idea. He's like, dude, just bank it and then we just launch it during the thing. So that's that available. That episode is available on the Tales of Tamriel podcast. And this weekend, actually, we're going to be being the Tales of Tamriel hadn't said to run a bit long-winded at times, covering the news and stuff like that. I believe your episode, George, when you joined us for the Skyrim 10th anniversary, was nearly 3 hours long.
it went by so fast, but I love stuff like that.
But it looks like, if all goes well, Elder Memes will be joining, and we're going to chat about Vegas and the community and all that stuff. So got another episode coming this weekend. So
nice.
He's always just the nicest guy to talk to.
Elder Memes is very, very nice person.
He's so happy to take everyone under his wing, make sure everyone feels comfortable. I know he watched out for like one of my friends during the event as well. Just fantastic dude. Super entertaining. Always love talking to him.
Good hugger.
Absolutely.
Let's make it awkward.
We were just talking about how good we are at this.
great at hugs. Go check out everybody's stuff. You know where my stuff is, robotsradio.net. And of course, I've got a bunch of other shows out there. So, if you're looking for more content, we've got content for you. So come check it out. And thanks for joining us live chat. Awesome seeing all the conversation in the chat today. And we'll be back next week with our patrons. So stay tuned for that. Have a wonderful week and we'll see you later. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.